Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you. If it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've just celebrated Christmas. We've just had the wonderful experience of being with family, with friends, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And, you know, my favorite story, the favorite telling of that particular event is Luke's gospel. Yeah. And we read that every year at our household. And kids, you know, when they were young, just like, when are you going to get finished with that? It felt like it lasted forever. Well, we read it the other day, and I think either Coleman or Caitlin said, well, that wasn't nearly as long as I thought it used to be.
Funny how that works.
I know. But, it's just interesting because Luke gets into the facts. He tells, you know, when this happened. He really pins it to history. But then he just gets right into it. Here's some news that has taken place, and it was of such consequence that angels had to announce it. They were the first ones to announce it, to go on the air with this news that a Savior had been born in the town of David, and he was Christ the Lord, and he was going to be the one that would save us from our sins and would be the cause of great joy among his people. So the angels announced it to a group of unlikely hearers, and those were the shepherds. So they were out in their fields watching their flocks by night, and all of a sudden an angel appears. The angel announces what has taken place, and that's what we have to understand. There was an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It happened in the city of David, the town of Bethlehem. It happened during the reign of Augustus, during the time that Quirinius was governor. We know a time frame in which this event occurred. Yeah. And here's the event, that Jesus Christ was born. Our Savior was born. And that is just a newsworthy story.
Indeed.
I mean, that should hit headline news every single day. Why? Because people all over the world are looking for someone to save them. And we have the wonderful opportunity to tell them, to be a voice, to be an announcer of this news into their lives, that you're looking for a Savior. Let me tell you about one who was born 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the angels did. They announced this news. Now, the shepherds, they went to Bethlehem, and they went to see exactly what the angels had told them. They wanted to make sure that it was true. So they found Mary, they found Joseph, they found where that occurred, and they saw Jesus. And guess what they did? They spread the news about Jesus, that a Savior had been born in the town of David, and this Savior is Christ the Lord, and he is going to be joy to everyone who receives him.
Yeah.
So for 2,000 years, that story has been being told. Every person that encounters Jesus, guess what they want to do? They want to tell another person that a Savior was born 2,000 years ago. He lives today, and someone through faith in him can experience salvation, can experience deliverance from sin and death, can be raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. That's what this event means. It is an event that happened 2,000 years ago that has benefit for us today. And that benefit is of such consequence that we call it good news.
Good news. That's good news coming from Basic Gospel, as you hear every day. Bob Christopher is here. My name is Bob Davis. Richard is away today, but we'll be back next week, I'm sure. And we want you to be a part of the broadcast today. If it's still about, what, 4 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and the number is 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. Pose your question. Has something you'd like to discuss? Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. And as Bob was saying, you know, one-to-one, person-to-person, heart-to-heart. Friends, when you give to support Basic Gospel, you help us deliver the good news straight to the heart and connect listeners literally around the world to the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listeners like David, who connected with Facebook and wrote, "The way God communicates through Basic Gospel is amazing. May He continue to expand your ministry." Well, friends, that's exactly what we hope to do. We want to see this ministry expand to reach more people like David with the amazing love and grace of God. So now between now and the 31st, we can all double the impact of our gifts through a $50,000 matching gift challenge. Now, there are several ways that you can give. You can visit basicgospel.net to see all the ways that you can give by phone or by check if you'd like. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. But the easiest way is to click donate at basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Any way you give will help us meet this extraordinary $50,000 matching gift challenge. Every dollar you give by now and the between now and the 31st will be doubled, and we hope you'll help today.
Well, and an update on that, Bob, we're $40,000 has come in over the last week and a half for this matching gift challenge. So we're 80% of the way there.
Right.
Now, if everybody would just gather together, would do something today, mm-hmm. we could announce on tomorrow's broadcast that the 50,000 has been met.
Yeah.
Now, that will push us much, much closer to our year-end target,
mm-hmm.
and we would be ever so grateful. So let's bound together. Let's come together.
Yeah.
Let's step up to the plate. Let's go to basicgospel.net and make a contribution and have your gift be doubled in its impact. What does that mean? That your $50 becomes $100, your $500 becomes $1,000. But what does that mean? Well, it means that more people, more folks who tune into the broadcast will be connected to the love of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. You're investing in the power of the gospel to change lives, and that impact will be doubled right now. So take advantage of this $50,000 matching gift challenge. Go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and go right now.
Yeah.
Or don't wait until tomorrow.
Or the 31st.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Might as well do it today. And we would love to come on the air tomorrow and announce to you that this $50,000 matching grant has been matched.
That would be great. That would be great news. That would be good news right along with the gospel, wouldn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We had this question from Sally concerning Hebrews 8:11. She writes, one of the new covenant promises that you related or included in your devotional was, "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest." Sally goes on to say, "I'm confused on this passage as all people don't know Jesus. Can you please explain it for me? Thank you and Merry Christmas." Of course, this came in just before Christmas.
Well, thank you, Sally. We certainly appreciate that question, and it's an excellent question concerning this new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 mm-hmm. Really lays out the four promises, and that is the third promises. They shall not teach each one his neighbor, for each one will know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least unto the greatest. So back in the old covenant, and here in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is comparing and contrasting the old with the new. So in the old, they simply passed on from one generation to the next the knowledge that they had concerning God. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, teach your children, tell them at day and or at morning and at night, mm-hmm. and that's how the information about God was passed on. So it was an external exchange.
Yeah.
me telling you, you receiving that information and telling somebody else. Well, in this new covenant, we're going to have an internal knowledge of God, a heart knowledge of God, a personal, intimate knowledge of God. Now, when he says that all will know the Lord, what he's saying is that all within this new covenant are going to know the Lord. If you're outside the new covenant, lost, you don't know God. You don't know anything about him. But there's an invitation to you to receive him. And when you receive him, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, inside of that person. And that person now has a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And that person will be a part of this new covenant. So this is only talking about those who are in the new covenant, the people of God.
Yeah.
But that invitation is out there for those who are outside of the new covenant, who are still under the condemnation of sin and death. When they receive the good news of Jesus, they're made alive, they're set free from sin and death, and they are made partakers of this new covenant, and this promise number three applies to them.
Yes, indeed. Sally, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And if you'd like to get a question to us, you can do exactly what Sally did. You can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to answer it that way. If you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, go ahead and call that same number, 844-322-2742. That's good 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Morgan is watching us today on our YouTube webcast, and she has this question. She says she was a pagan but has now turned her life around by the grace of God. So, Morgan, praise God for that. We yeah. are so grateful that you have been made alive together with Christ Jesus, and even more important, that Christ has come to live inside of you. So, fantastic. Welcome to the family of God, and it's a real honor that we can call you a sister in Christ.
Indeed.
And you can call us brothers in Christ. So we're part of the family. So that's exciting, Morgan.
Indeed,
it really is. But Morgan asked this, is it right for a Christian woman to dress goth to evangelize to others who dress goth or are a part of that culture?
Yeah.
Well, you know, certainly if that was your way of dressing before coming to Christ, he's not going to say, oh, you're going to have to change and dress completely differently now that you're a Christian so that you'll be accepted. That's just not the way it works.
No, not at all.
You're alive in Christ. Christ is alive in you. You're accepted in the Beloved, regardless of what your attire is. Now, if you feel like that you want to change your attire into something that you believe is going to fit more closely with who you are in Christ, praise be to God for that. But that's between you and the Spirit of God that lives within you. If you still have friends that live that are a part of that goth culture, and you want to share Christ with them, and it may make sense to dress that way, become all things to all people, as Paul said, in hopes of winning some. So he said that, you know, to those under the law, he became like those under the law in hopes that he could win them. But I want you to know for sure that your identity is in Christ Jesus. It's not in the clothes that you wear. It's not in the former culture that you were a part of or any of those things. It is now in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. Your sins are forgiven, not just some of them, but all of them. You are right in God's sight. You've been given his righteousness. You have been made holy, set apart for his use. And you've been indwelt by God's Spirit, and he is never going to leave you nor forsake you. So if you have a heart to reach people, some of your old friends, and for them to experience new life in exactly the same way that you've experienced, then trust the Lord to open up those doors. And if, you know, if it's still dressing in goth clothing to do so, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Maybe God will lead you in another way. But just be open, be sensitive to what God the Spirit is going to be doing inside of you concerning your friends. Just leave the results in God's hands. But you ask the question, is it right? And what's right is for you to be led by the Spirit.
Yes, indeed.
As far as this goes, remember, you're a child of God. God has come to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And praise God that you have this love for your friends.
Yes.
And that you want them to experience new life in exactly the same way that you have, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ.
Morgan, thank you for reaching out to us. And Bob, thank you for that answer. Morgan, hope you're listening, and I'm sure you are. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Richard Piper's not here today. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. And friends, as we close in on the end of the year, let me remind you once again about the huge matching gift offer. Your gift through the 31st will be matched up to $50,000 to help Basic Gospel spread the love and grace of God and far and wide as possible. A listener named Marilyn wrote to us to say, I love the way you make the gospel so simple, reminding me that God loves me unconditionally and promises he will transform me. Friends, your gifts do make a difference. And when you make your December gift, not only will it be doubled by this matching gift, you'll also receive a copy of our book, Love Is, a book that explains everything about the unfailing love of God. We want you to have a copy when you make your gift by the 31st. Click donate at basicgospel.net. In fact, you'll find several ways to make your gift when you visit the website. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And in Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, Bob, Greg dropped us a note. He listens to the podcast through iTunes, and this is, to me, it's kind of an amusing question because, well, you'll see when I read it. He says, I would love your advice on grace parenting. I have three kids under 13, and my two youngest are very hard-headed. I hate when I have an outburst because I've asked them to do something five times, and by the fifth time, I'm upset. Just need some advice on how to parent and discipline children under grace.
Well, that's a great question. You know, we often parent kind of the Santa Claus method. We have the naughty list and we have the nice list, and we reward our children for the things that they do right or do well, or whenever they do nice things, and then we punish them when they are on that naughty list. Mm-hmm. And we're teaching something that doesn't really line up with the grace of God. We're teaching them a system of rewards and punishments based on behavior. Yeah. And so they're going to learn under that system that approval only comes through the right type of behavior. My dad is going to accept me if I do this, this, and this. My dad's not going to accept me, not going to approve of me if I do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reality that we want to raise our kids in. We first and foremost want to let our kids know that we love them, period. No strings attached to that. They don't have to be good. They don't have to be bad. They're just your kids. And if you want to give them ice cream, you give them ice cream. They don't have to earn that. And we're constantly trying to make our kids earn things. And that's not the way love works. Love isn't a system of rewards and punishments. So we have to learn what love is all about. And the first thing that we need to know about love is there's no strings attached.
Right.
So we do things for our kids just because we love them. And sometimes we discipline them. Why? Just because we love them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just bless them with stuff just because we love them. We don't need to tie any of that to whether they're on the on the nice list or the naughty list.
Yeah, to behavior.
The second thing, as far as his question is concerned, he said, you know, by the fifth time, you don't wait for the fifth time. You ask them once. If they don't, if they don't want to do it, then you go help them do it. You say, hey, this is important. Let's do this together. And you just get engaged with them and help them along the way. So when the next time comes and you just do it once, they know immediately that if they don't go and do it, you're going to help them. You're going to move them to do it. So I think that's important.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to be frustrated because they didn't respond on the first time, and you don't have to exasperate them because you've let this anger build up inside of you.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah. If you say something and they don't do it, just go ahead and take care of it right then and there.
Absolutely. Greg, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you, Bob.
Well, I had another question on our Facebook page. Patricia is watching us, and she says this: it seems like so many churches are adopting Calvinism as far as salvation is concerned. They even go so far as to say faith comes only if God chooses you to have it. Now, that is the typical Calvinistic viewpoint. They basically say that regeneration precedes faith. So once you're born again, once you're made alive, and that's all of God's doing, then you have the opportunity, the ability to choose. Now, that's just part of their system. I don't think the Word of God says that. It doesn't really, you know, have a verse or chapter and that sort of thing that says it in exactly those words. So we have to realize that this gospel message goes out, this grace of God goes out to all people. And as it encounters people, then we have a chance, we have this opportunity to respond by faith. And that's part of the choice. Adam and Eve chose death. We get to choose life through this offer of grace in Jesus Christ. So I think it's very, very simple. And when you really look at all of the chapters, the fertile chapters for Calvinism, you realize that he's not speaking about individuals. When you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, he's not making an argument about how God saves individuals. In Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's the same thing. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. And what he's saying is that salvation has been predestined for both Jew and Gentile to happen in exactly the same way. So the same gift of God's Spirit that the Jews received is exactly the same gift of God's Spirit that Gentiles receive.
Yeah.
And once we receive that, then we are put together into this body of Christ. So out of two, he is making one new man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the context of predestination. That's the context of these Calvinistic doctrines. It's not about individuals. It's not about God saving some, predestined some for salvation and others for damnation. It's about Jew and Gentile, how he's given an opportunity for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved.
Yeah.
So let's just say what the Bible says. And I think once we do, we're not going to be divided over this issue. We're actually going to be unified over it, and we're going to experience sweet unity in the body of Christ.
Well said, Bob. Thank you for that. And Patricia, hope that's a help to you. Friends, you know, every day Basic Gospel shares the simple yet profound message of God's love, reaching people, shining the light of truth on the air and online. Let's continue to cut through the religious confusion, connecting people around the world to the transforming love of God. Please make a generous gift this year end, knowing that now through the 31st, every dollar you give will be doubled by that phenomenal $50,000 matching gift challenge. You can make your gift by phone, by check, with the Basic Gospel app, or through PayPal. The easiest way, of course, is to donate at basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. So, friends, let's all do our parts and match that $50,000 matching gift offer by between now and the 31st. We would love to have your partnership. Lots of questions coming in these days through Facebook. We hope you'll take advantage of that each day and view us online. Well, now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.